It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
The showgirl is still one of the potent symbols of Las Vegas, despite the closing of major production shows that feature them, including Folies Bergère at the Tropicana. But fear not, the showgirl lives on, and my guest will explain why. Singer, writer, and producer Maren Wade will star in Confessions of a Showgirl in Myron's at the Smith Center Wednesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. And the show is based on her popular Las Vegas weekly column, Confessions of a Showgirl. For ticket information, go to confessionsofashowgirl.com, and you can follow Maren on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And Maren, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So before we even get into the column, before we get into any other aspect, did you ever work in any of these production shows that I alluded to, including Folies Bergère?
No.
But it's in your blood. It's in your bones. It's there somewhere.
It's funny because I use the term showgirl sort of to capture the modern day showgirl. And I make light of the fact that I am not a showgirl in the colloquial sense. So people who are expecting, it's like from the very beginning in my show and my columns, if you're expecting some 5'10 leggy glamazon, I am like the redheaded stepchild. So I don't meet the height requirements. But, you know, if the definition of a showgirl is, you know, a woman who is a girl who's in a show in Vegas, I've definitely been able to keep up with that and had some really fun experiences that I thought I have to document because this town is just so unique and it needed to be said.
and also, too, you're much too young to be in any of the production shows that were either at the Dunes or at the Stardust or at the Tropicana.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. that was before your time. So why did you decide to come up with the title in your column, and then, of course, the show, which we'll get into in a little bit, too. But what made you decide to go this particular way and hook onto this particular genre? What was it about it that appealed to you?
I just, you know, Vegas is a town unlike any other. And I had performed, I'm originally from Los Angeles, and I had done a lot of work in L.A., and I had done work on tours and on like musicals and other production type shows. And when I got to Vegas, I just had seen nothing like it. The adventures, the crazy, the different jobs that you can have that I thought I have to document this whole life and these experiences. And there were just so many funny, quirky situations that I got myself into. And when I decided to write the column, I had taken some stories from friends and things that had happened and then also incorporated it with my own. And just, there was this never endless amount of material. So, and then when it came time, I thought doing this column, well, it seems only natural to create a show, right? I am a showgirl after all.
There you go. Sure.
So then I thought I have to make it into the show. And I took kind of all the best, most popular stories and, that had come into my life and we put it all together.
And Keith Thompson is your musical conductor or director or any of those, or all of them, actually, probably.
So Keith Thompson and I have worked in a lot of different shows together, most notably the Cocktail Cabaret at Caesar's Palace. And Keith is amazing. Everything he does is amazing. He's also the founder of Composer's Showcase. And so while we were working together, I said, listen, I've wanted to do this show for so long. I think I want it to be kind of a cabaret styled show. And he was definitely my man. So we teamed up and I had kind of presented him with the stories that I wanted to do and the songs that I wanted to pair them up with. And then he just put them together so masterfully.
Did any of the material that you put into the show, was some of it based on conversations you had with showgirls that had appeared, for example, in Folies Bergère, the Tropicana, or some of the other resorts in town?
So my column definitely featured a lot of those stories, but this show is more autobiographical. So it's very true to the experiences that I have had in Las Vegas as a modern day showgirl. And I kind of take everyone through the whole journey. So in addition to all of the fun and quirky stories, there's also some very personal confessions and things that I get into within the show as well. So I would say the show's more focused on, you know, my own experiences.
Right. You said confession. So there's some salacious material in there?
some might consider it that. I mean, everything. People ask, can kids come to the show? They actually can, because I think a lot of that stuff will fly over their head. But you know, it is Vegas, so there's a nice mix of confessions there.
When you put it as a song, so the trick is it's partly musical. Obviously, there's your written material, but there's also the songs that go on as well. So it's a nice mix of narrative and music. And do you think, as a result of doing this, that it's going to debut at the Smith Center, but will it also, and that's November 6th at 7 p.m. at the Smith Center. Do you see that taking it on the road?
I actually already have been taking it on the road. Yeah. So this is, we've done New York, we've done New Jersey, we've done, I've done small little pockets in Vegas, but this is like the big bucket list for me to take it to Myron's at the Smith Center. And it's been really well received. I had a great debut in New York, and New Jersey was also fabulous too. So it's fun. It's fun to take it to different cities and see what resonates with people, because it's obviously very different, you know, from people who are from Vegas versus people who, you know, don't know that life as much. And it's very interesting to see that all the stories, it sort of resonates the same way with people outside of Vegas. And that's really fun to see.
How do you combine the elements of what we consider the traditional showgirl and then what is today's showgirl? How did you work that out for this presentation?
Well, I think, you know, as far as what is a traditional showgirl, that's something that I have never really had the experience to do, because I'm not I'm not tall and leggy, and those were not my opportunities. But I think my ultimate inspiration behind the column and also the show is that that you can create a role for yourself, you know, and that you can connect to your inner showgirl. And so it's a bit of an inspiring message of finding yourself and defining who you want to be and not having those roles defined for you.
What do you see as the showgirl from your point of view as a writer of the act and as the person in the act as well? What do you see the showgirl as, especially, I guess, in today's world? It's clearly different. Yes, you could have got some research material from talking to former showgirls that had worked in some of these places, but yours is a modern take on it. But what do you see as the definition in your head of a showgirl?
I think that a showgirl is someone who identifies as a girl in a show who can really tell a story and bring a message to life in the world of entertainment. And I think that it's in finding themselves, like finding whatever their strengths are and their passions are, and then creating that space. So I think for me, you know, that my overall inspiring message of this show is that you come here and you will identify with my struggles and my triumphs and my losses. You'll laugh at the funny situations I've been put into. You might get teary-eyed at the other sort of adventures that I reveal. And so I can kind of put that all in and take you on a journey. And if in that moment you can watch the show and just forget whatever else is going on in your life and have that release and that whole experience, then that's the goal for me as a showgirl. And I think that other showgirls out there are doing the same thing.
Well, for those who are listening and not watching, Maren is 6'5", wearing a headdress, and is a wonderful costume that she has on with jewels everywhere. It's an amazing, and feathers. It's a great look. I like that. So are you going to be doing costume changes in your show at the Smith Center?
There are some, yes, you could call them costume changes. Yes.
Well, okay. Would you call them costume changes?
You have to come and see it.
Okay. But fair enough.
I do have different looks in the show.
Oh, okay. That I like that, different looks. Okay. That's good. I don't think going back for a second, you mentioned about moving here from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Was it one particular thing that drew you here? In other words, did you have a job up here initially, or was it that you just wanted to try something new altogether?
So I had been, born and raised in LA, and LA is a bit of a TV and film town. And so most of the jobs I wanted to be performing, you know, in front of audiences. So most of the jobs that I booked were tours that took me away from LA, and musicals and things like that. And I was on one tour in particular. I was on the Radio City Christmas Spectacular tour. And one of my friends was friends with a Chippendale. And we had had a stop in Virginia. Obviously, it was the holiday season. And he happened to be home for the holidays. And he was a very successful Chippendale who was in several different shows and did hosting and did a bunch of different things. And he had mentioned Vegas and everything that he was doing there. And I thought, well, Vegas is not that far away from LA. And when I got home from tour, I decided to go and visit and see like the show he was in and what was going on over there. And it ended up that they had a fill-in spot in the show that he was a part of. This was like it was a show at the Rio. And they needed a female singer to fill in on certain weekends. So that's, and then I ended up getting that part. So I would travel down from LA. I still lived in LA, but I'd travel down back and forth until I got my first full-time show there, which was, you know, like maybe a year later. And then that's how I made it to Vegas.
So it sounds like, based on what you were saying earlier, that it's really more the, you love the live presentation rather than film or television. In other words, you're getting in front of a live audience and performing. Yeah. You're getting that immediate fix of whatever that is.
In terms I do of appreciate it in real time. Yeah. In real time, seeing people. But, you know, since then, it's I've had a lot of different opportunities where I don't know if you know, I love it all. I think I like the TV and film aspect as well as the stage aspect. But at the time, that was definitely what was drawing me to Vegas.
Did you ever spend time on the East Coast? Because you have a little bit of an East Coast vibe to you. And I was wondering whether, because you said you grew up in LA, but you don't seem an LA person.
Thank you. I don't know. I don't have much experience on the East Coast for the most part, but I do like to visit. It's a fun place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just interesting when you were mentioning growing up in LA, and I had listening to you and looking at you, it seemed that it was more East Coast than West Coast, but that may be just part of your transition to Las Vegas.
Where my transition to Las Vegas made me a East Coaster.
Yes, it did, as a matter of fact, because we have a lot of
people here. Yeah, it kind of did. Baby steps.
Yeah. Well, how long did it take you to write the act?
So, I mean, you know, it's been a really long process because, I mean, it originally started with a column and I wrote the column for 2 years and then I wanted to turn it into a show. And this whole journey has been probably 10 years long because in the time, you know, there were a lot of breaks and stuff in between, but what I thought the show was going to be when I first set out to write it, life happened. A lot of stuff happened in between. It took longer than I thought it was going to take. And it ended up becoming way more profound than I ever would have thought. So, you know, what I thought was first going to be a fun, lighthearted look at a showgirl's world turned into something, you know, much more. So it's something I'm really, really proud of. And obviously I can't reveal too much about it. You'd want to go and see the show. Otherwise I'd, you know, ruin certain things. But you know, I do get very personal and talk about some stuff in my life that obviously I didn't expect would happen at the time that I first set out to write it. Mm-hmm. And also didn't expect that I would talk about, right, in a show. So I do reveal quite a lot.
When you mentioned earlier taking it on tour and you've performed in New York, et cetera. At the end of the show there in New York and the other cities that you've done this, do you get an interesting reaction from the audience? You may either have a meet and greet or you just meet people afterwards informally, but do you get feedback from them and what they thought they really enjoyed about the show?
I do. I get feedback. I think one of the biggest things they say is like, oh, I wasn't expecting it to have, you know, all the feels. They were like, they really felt the same way that they were coming in to see this fun, lighthearted show, which it does have. It has a lot of comedy, a lot of funny, crazy situations. But there is a really touching part where of the show that I think is very special and adds a level of depth that I think most people just wouldn't expect when they're coming in.
Do you find for yourself that you, when you perform it, well, when you wrote it and now when you perform it, do you get a catharsis from it?
Yeah, every time. Yeah. And I think different pockets stand out to me every time. I learn something new every time, even still. Whenever I do the stories and the numbers and go through the whole journey.
Do you think that, and I'm speculating here because it's a very personal show, but do you see down the road as it gains more and more success that you could, in essence, have a road show with someone else in your role?
I mean, I've thought of it, but I don't know. I don't, at this moment in time, I don't, in its current iteration, I don't really see how that could be possible because it is so personal and it is so tailored to my story that I think that might be a little difficult to do, but you never know.
Well, it could be. Do you see what, because you wrote the column for 2 years for Las Vegas Weekly, do you see turning that either a collection of the columns or a separate book? So you'd have a collection of columns in book form or a separate book altogether that mimics your performance.
It's funny you should say that.
Of course.
Because one of the other things people said when they come to see the show is, you know, oh, I love all these, is there one place I can find, you know, all these stories in these columns? You should write a book. And I thought, that's a great idea. I should write a book. So I wrote a book. And yes, I do. I sell them at my shows.
So oh, excellent. Okay.
Is it that book.
Same title as the show?
It is the same title. And it's this really beautifully made coffee table book, hardcover, very, you know, and it has all the top columns, tons and tons of pictures, funny stories, little kind of, you know, side stories and stuff even within them. So I updated them since the original publications of the columns. And it's a lot of fun.
You've been very productive.
Yes, I try. I like to stay busy.
How is it that you have the energy for all of this? I mean, it's you seem to be full of energy. Where does that come from? Is it just because you're a show person or is there something else?
I do love the idea. I love creativity. It's a lot of fun for me to create new things and particularly in the entertainment place. But you know, it doesn't happen all the time. It ebbs and flows, right? There's plenty of times where I can't find the inspiration. But when it does come, it's like, oh, I have to capture it while it's there.
Right. But your energy level is so high. And you, obviously, you have to have it high for the show, which is, I think, 75 minutes. And you have a 5-piece band as well, which we could talk about. But you obviously have to gear up for that energy for the show. But you seem to have, just in regular life, a lot of energy.
Thank you for that. I think
welcome.
At times it can appear that way. I mean, listen, that's part of what we do, right? We have to muster up the energy when we get on stage, whether we have it or not. Right. And I think that also kind of circles back with audiences, right? That's what I'm drawn to when I have a live audience, is that I feel the energy of them and the energy of the room. And one of my favorite moments in general is just like the calm before the storm. Like, so those, that hour or two before a show where, you get to anticipate like just the whole experience. And I do get my energy. I get my energy from that. And probably the anticipation of all of that. But I can't say I'm energetic all the time. I would definitely be lying.
Understood. But do you meditate for that hour or two before the show, or do you just be calm, as you mentioned?
It depends. It depends how much is falling, is crumbling around me before the show starts. I mean, I always say like I could write a ton more confessions just on getting the show up and running, because like I said, there's a never ending amount of material.
Yeah, I bet. Well, I could see you know, so there's no drinking before the show then, right? Because you have to be focused. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. That's kind of the one rule I've always had for myself. I think if I didn't, you know, once if I start drinking, then I just don't care. And then it's like,
I don't know.
That could go one of two ways.
When you were writing the material for the show, and it included obviously music and lyrics, was it bifurcated for you in this sense that you, on the writing side, separate from the songs, you're writing in a way like you write your column, but on the songs, that's a whole different process for both.
Yes,
from composing and being a lyricist. So how were you able to get into the zone for each side of that?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because you know, a lot of the stories that I do tell in my show that are also in my book, I think it's interesting. People have told me it's interesting to go back and read those stories because they're still very different from how I wrote them on the page to how I do them within the songs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we had to take, we had to omit certain things, or, you know, you don't have the setup that you have in a song. So you have to kind of get straight to the point or change it a little bit because, you know, change the way you tell it because of how it fits into songs. And I picked a lot of, I every song is so different, and the songs that I picked, that's kind of another roundabout question in terms of what you were saying, how I'm different from traditional showgirls, or I tried to pick songs that were very modern or modernish compared to like what you would normally envision in like a Vegas type show. So, you know, I have songs by like Lady Gaga and Katy Perry and Taylor Swift, and but I mold them into, so we're telling stories while I'm singing songs. So kind of have these breaks where even though the music's still going, I kind of come in and out of some of these songs and then tell these stories and piece them together. And sometimes it's just like the title of a song that is funny in relationship mm-hmm. to the story.
Do you think that, especially because it's here in Las Vegas, again, at the Smith Center, November 6th at 7 p.m. Myron's Cabaret, do you envision part of the audience being current or former showgirls, both in the classic definition and in the modern definition, which is what you're doing?
Yeah, there definitely are some. Definitely are some that come up to me after. I love it. And then they share their experiences that are somewhat similar, right, to mine. Because show business is show business. So like a lot of times, you know, when a show goes wrong, it's just a funny story. It's like something mm-hmm. happens. And a lot of them are just, they'll appreciate it for like the history of it. I talk about working with Wayne Newton. I talk about meeting Mariah Carey. I talk about being a bad Madonna impersonator. Like there was a job where I had to go in and be a Madonna impersonator, but I didn't look or sound like Madonna and thought this is going to be great. So I think, you know, regardless of whether they were or were not, there is an added element of appreciation for Vegas audiences that watch this show. They get kind of the whole picture because they yeah. are more familiar with
the I was thinking, and I'll just take a small royalty from you if you end up doing this. And that is, you have a whole other book and show that you could do, which is called Confessions of Other Showgirls, because as you mentioned, they come up to you and talk to you after the show yes. and you know a lot of them and you talk to them. You could do a whole other realm there and turn it into music. So just like 2% royalty on if you do okay. that. That's yeah. all I ask.
I did get to do that a fair amount on my, in my column in Las Vegas Weekly. But listen, since then, I've met a lot of other showgirls and a lot of other stories. So, you know, there could be a part two.
There you go. What was there one or two similar stories you found by talking with other showgirls in terms of their experiences that you identified with? Or I mean, similar experiences that they dealt with something on stage or off stage and it rang a bell with you and you, oh yeah, well I went through that too as part of your journey.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of that I did. I mean, off the top of my head, I think anytime something in a show goes wrong, that seems to, you know, or like, I talk about sometimes just forgetting the lyrics to a song while I'm singing, you know, like everybody has these moments where they do a show for many, many years or many, many times. Mm-hmm. And then somehow you just still have a moment where you're like, wait, what did I just do? How did that happen? Yeah. I think, you know, stories like that, but I can't think of anything, you know, specific off the top of my head. I mean, that's also the thing about this town are these, and the stories that I chose to put in the show is that they're so unbelievable that people believe they didn't happen.
But they did.
But they did. And that's also what makes it hard to be like, oh, that happened to me too. Right. Because it probably didn't happen in that way, right? Right. There's a different story that happened about, but not that one.
Yeah. I mean, you could have things like wardrobe malfunction, lighting cues go wrong, sound cues go wrong.
Right.
That type of thing. Did you ever have an issue where a couple of showgirls talk to you about just somebody they meet that's kind of a little bit crazy that they have to work with on a regular basis? That part of that world too?
I mean, I think that's also a regular occurrence. Yeah, I mean, when you think of just crazy people, I mean, or quirky people, I should say.
Yeah, quirky is better. Yeah, yeah.
Lot of fun, quirky adventures in this town. Yeah, and people to work with for sure.
Do you think you could have written this if you were not in Las Vegas, if you were back in Los Angeles?
Absolutely not. You mean like if I had never been to Las Vegas, or just in terms of
I think both, in the sense of, because you originally were in Los Angeles,
yeah.
could you have gone through that journey and experienced what you experienced unless it was in Las Vegas? You couldn't do it in LA.
No, this is a very tailored show for Las Vegas. Yes, it was. Yeah.
Understood. Do you anticipate people coming up from LA, producers, directors, et cetera, to see this show?
I actually do. I have a fair amount of people already coming up from LA. So it'll be really interesting. It's very exciting to see the response. I mean, we're 3 weeks in and tickets are definitely selling quickly. They're going faster than I thought they would too. So I'm very excited by the response. Yeah.
Well, so you could theoretically, there might be a part two in this eventually. So
if this show sells out, we'll have to see. We'll have to see about a part two.
Two more things. I'll let you go. One is, were you surprised at the response to your initial column and then to the show as it took shape, even before you took it to New York and other places?
Was I surprised? Yeah, I think it's always really rewarding. You know, when you create something, you never know how people are going to respond to it. You put it out there, you put your whole heart and soul into something, and it can be great and people can love it, or they cannot, or they can have no reaction to it. And so it was really rewarding for me, you know, anytime I did get that positive feedback and people were like, I love your column, or, oh my God, this story was so great, or my favorite one is this. And a lot of times it's just talking points because they're so kind of unique. These stories, they stick in your head. And so I think for me, when I created the show, I had a feeling that it was going to be special, but it was mine, right? I'm biased. Mm-hmm. And so when I did put it out there, and particularly in the cities that I didn't really know, you know, in Vegas, it's my hometown. I have a lot of, you know, supporters here. So you don't know so much if your friends and supporters are like telling you the truth or not. So going to some of these different towns and like seeing the response and seeing the consistent response was really gratifying.
Because you have strangers doing it, not friends and neighbors.
Yes, they have no skin in the game.
Yeah,
they love it. I'm like, okay, this works. This is exciting.
Okay, last question. And that is, future of Confessions of a Showgirl, what do you see doing?
I think we're, you know, I'm just going to keep on putting on the show in different locations. You know, we have some tour dates on the schedule. I can't really announce much yet, but yeah, like just taking it to other places and letting everyone else see what an amazing, inspiring, quirky, fun town Las Vegas is.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been singer, writer, and producer Maren Wade. She'll star in Confessions of a Showgirl in Myron's at the Smith Center, November 6th, 7 p.m. And the show is based on her popular Las Vegas weekly column, Confessions of a Showgirl. For ticket information, go to confessionsofashowgirl.com, confessionsofashowgirl.com. And you can follow Maren on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And Maren, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey, Las Vegas.